Rabbosai, we're on the Daf Dalid Amud Beis, on the bottom of the Amud, and we're talking about what's called Mechitzin. Mechitzin means Mechitzos. And we had a statement of Rav that Mechitzin is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And the Gemara is asking the following question. Is it really so that Mechitzin, the laws of Mechitza, and the Shiurim of Mechitza are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? After all, we're going to derive Mechitza from the Torah itself. And where from the Torah? From the Aron HaBris. And the Torah is going to tell us about the Aron, that it was Amma Vachetzi. Now we're assuming that the Amma has six Tfachim, and Chetzi Amma would be, therefore be three Tfachim. So when we add six and three, we get nine Tfachim. So the height of the Aron was nine Tfachim. Now on top of the Aron, there was a curtain, a covering, that was called the Kapores. And the Torah tells us that the Kapores was one tefach thick. So therefore, from the ground till the top of the Aron, which means on top of the Kapores, we have 10 tefachim. Now, we have a halacha, I mean, I wouldn't call it halacha, but a kind of halacha, that the Shechina is up in Shamayim, and it comes down up to a point of Aretz, but not below Aretz. Now, what is Aretz? So the Aretz is from the ground all the way up to 10 tefachim. So the Shechina would come down from the highs, from the heavens, and rest itself, or herself, I guess you'd say, the Shechina was resting on the Kapores, on top of the Aron. And that means it came up to 10 tefachim. So the Rosh HaYachid, which is the extension of the Aretz, of the Karka, that rises all the way up 10 tefachim. And therefore the Shechina couldn't go down below the top of the Aron, which is the Kapores, because that would already be Aretz. So it comes out that our definition of Rishus HaYachid is the airspace that is the extension of the Aretz. You know, it's almost as if the Karka, the ground itself, rises up 10 Tfach, if you can use that as a kind of a vision. And those 10 Tfachim are Rishus HaYachid, and they're an extension of the Aretz. And the Shechina would not penetrate down into the Rishus HaYachid, because that would mean that the Shechina is down in the Aretz. And the Shechina, Me'olam lo yarda Shechina lamata lo Aretz. And that's a Gemara, not here in Erevin, but in Mesechta Sukkah, on Daf Hei. Right, Daf Hei in Mesechta Sukkah is the Sugya of Mechitzos. You know, we're getting a little bit of a spin-off, but the real McCoy Sugya, the original, is in Sukkah Daf Hei. And there the Gemara establishes that the Shechina lo yarda lemata la'aretz. It never went down to the Aretz. This is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, ve'aretz nasan livnei adam. So the Aretz is off limits, so to speak, from the Shechina. Whatever that means philosophically, I don't know. But it gives us a halachic statement about the definition of Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid goes from the Karka all the way up to the top of the Kaporis on top of the Aron, because that's where the Shechina was. And Rishus HaYachid, which is called Aretz, goes up to that point. And that means that we have an Aretz, which is 10 Tfachim high. And this is going to be the source in the Torah itself for the halacha of A mechitza, which surrounds an area on all sides. Let's say you have four mechitzos. In that case, that's the, you know, the paradigmic case of Rishus HaYachid. It's completely surrounded by four mechitzos. And in such a case, we have Rishus HaYachid. How tall are these mechitzos that surround us? Well, it's the point in which Aretz terminates. And the highest point of Aretz is 10 Tfachim high. So how can you tell me, Rav, that Mechitza, is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's not Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. The Torah itself has revealed to us exactly where the Shekhinah is and where the Rishus HaYachid is. And that's going to be a machitz of 10 tefachim high. So what we're up to now, Rabbo says, Lo Tzricha. That's where we stopped yesterday. And I want to show you where it says Lo Tzricha. If you count up, again, depending on what kind of Gemara you have, but you count up from the bottom of Daf Dalet Amid Beis, approximately, I would guess, about, shall we say, 11 lines or so. The first word in the line is Tisha, and the last word in the line is Lo. And the first word of the next line is Tzricha, Lo Tzricha. Why do we need Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? And the answer is, now just to remind you of a Chazara, because we're going to see a very similar parallel structure. Yesterday, we discussed the case of Chatzitza. And we said that when a person goes down into the mikveh, he's not allowed to have anything that separates his body from the water of the Arbaim saw the mikveh, and anything that separates him is called a chatzitza. On a Doraisa level, we discussed yesterday, you have to have two conditions. It's got to be rov and makpid. And then we discussed the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Where do we need the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? The Torah already tells us, and we derive this from the pasuk Ba Mayim, that there cannot be a chatzitza, but we needed the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai to add another dimension of chatzitza, which was not included in the Torah, and that was Sear. If his hair has knots in it, you would have said that it says Besaro B'Toch HaMayim, his hair is not part of his basar, it's not part of his guf, and for that I need Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai to extend the Halacha of chatzitza to include even the sear, even the hair that rises up above his head. And we have a similar case here, that we have a din of machitza, and that we're going to derive from the Torah itself, as we said, the Aron and the Kaporis, that's 10 tefachim for a machitza. But now we're going to need another din, and that's going to be derived from Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's din. L'Rabbi Yehuda D'Amar, Amas binyan bi'ama bashisha bi'amas kelim bi'ama bas chamisha. So let's just review. We have two categories of an ama. An ama, which is called an ama gedola, is 6 tefachim. Then we have an ama ketana, which is 5 tefachim. And Rabbi Yehuda recognizes both. And the Torah recognizes both, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But it depends what you're dealing with. If you're dealing with Amas Binyan, let's go back to the Mishkan. The Mishkan was built with Urios and with Krushim. The Urios were the curtains that covered the Mishkan, and the beams, which are called the Krushim, they formed the structure of the Mishkan. That's called, in a generic sense, the term is Amas Binyan. And Rabbi Yehuda says the Amas Binyan, if we're talking in the Torah, in these parashiyos that we're reading now, about the dimensions of the Binyan, whether it be the Gerios, whether it be the Krushim, then we're going to use the Ama Gedola of 6 Tfachim. However, there's another Ama, and that's called the Amas Kelim. And the Amas Kelim, we'll mention a few examples of Kelim, which is not the structure of the Mishkan, but rather utensils that went inside the Mishkan. That Ama is an Ama Ketana of 5 Tefachim. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if you want to study Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, we'd have to again go back to that famous Sugya of Mechitza, which is in Sukkah Daf Hei. But in any event, for our purposes, we have to know the following. There's something called an Amas Kelim. How many Tefachim are in an Amas Kelim? Don't all answer at once. 5. You guessed it. I don't know how you figured it out. Okay. So that's called an Ama Ketana for Kelim. What are these Kelim? So let's give 3 examples. One example is the Mizbeach. The other example is the Shulchan. And the third is the Aron. So now, we are measuring the Aron, which the Torah identifies as Amma Vachetzi Begova, in its height, with the Amma of five Tvachim. So if an Amma for the Aron is five Tvachim, then how much is a half an Amma? You guessed it, 2.5 Tvachim. And if we add 5 Tvachim to 2.5 Tvachim, you guessed it, we have 7.5 Tvachim. So the Aron, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was 7.5 Tvachim high. Now add the Kaporis, which is 1 Tefach, and you're up to 8.5 Tvachim. This could not be the source for the law of Mechitza for a Shusayachid. A Mechitza for a Shusayachid has to be 10 Tvachim. And that cannot be derived from the Aron, which was only 8.5 Tvachim, if you count the Kaporis as well, according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Amas Kelim is Amaktana, which is only 5 Tvachim. So we're left with an Aron, which is only 8.5 Tvachim high. So Rabbi say, when you get home to your grandchildren, Amir Tzashem, or your children, or your parents, you know, whatever is relevant, and your friends, and you ask them the following quiz question: how tall was the Aron? So of course they're going to say it was 10 Tvachim high. But you're going to tell them, hey, that's not true. That's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the other Tanoim, in this case Rabbi Meir. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, I have news for you, the Aron was only 8.5 Tvachim high. And now we need Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai to teach us that the height of a mechitza is 10 tefachim. We cannot derive it from the Torah and from the parish of Aron. The Gemara says, but le Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, the Omar kol ha'amos benonios. All the amos in the Torah, whether it's the amos of Binyan with regard to the Krushim and the Urios, whether it's the amos of Kalim with regard to the Mizbeach, or the Shulchan, or the Aron, they're all 6 Tvachim. Every Amma is 6 Tvachim. Which means that if the Torah says the Aron is an Amma v'chetzi, it means the Aron was 9 Tvachim. Add the Kaporis and you get 10 Tvachim. Is Michael Meimar, why do you need Halacha L'moshe Mi-Sinai? Now let me point out that the Gemara uses a very strange terminology here. And that terminology is Amma Beinonis, a middle Amma. Now we only know of two categories of Amma. We have the Amma Gedola, which is the one that we're talking about here, that has 6 Tvachim. And we have the Amma Ketana, that's made up of 5 Tvachim. And now the Gemara in Rabbi Meir is referring to the Amma Gedola, and it calls it an Amma Beinonis. That's really strange. Why do you use the word Amma Beinonis to describe an Amma that has 6 Tvachim? Is there a larger Amma? So I just want to read to you a comment here that the Amma Bashisha Tvachim is called an Amma Beinonis, and therefore there are 3 categories of Amma. There's the Amma Ketana, there's the Amma Beinonis, and the Amma Gedola. The Ketana is made up of 5 Tvachim. The Beinonis is made up of 6 Tvachim. Now, if you add Shtei Amos Gedolos Hayu, Achas Bas Shisha Tvachim Vechetzi Etzba, Vishnia Bas Shisha Tvachim VeEtzba. So for this, we have to learn a sugya, which is called Shushan Habira, which is a nice sugya if you're after Purim. And what is Shushan Habira? Shushan Habira was a room that was on top of the eastern entrance into the Azorah. There were two different entrances into the Azorah. On top of the Shar Mizrahi, the eastern gate, there was a structure, a room, which is called Shushan Habira. And the size of that room was measured in what's called the Amma Gedola, not the Amma Beinonis. And the Amma Gedola was made up of Achas Bashisha Tvachim Vechetzi Etzba, and then there was an Amma Bashisha Tvachim V'Etzba. So we're adding a little bit to the Amma in the case of Shushan Habira. Now that sugya is a sugya Mesechta Menachos on Daf Tzadit Ches and Ayin Shom. Anyway, for our purposes, we have to know that an Amma Beinonis is an Amma that has six Tfachim, according to Rabbi Meir. All the Amos in the Mishkan, whether it's Amos of Binyan or Amos of Kalim, were all Amos of six Tfachim. And if they were of six Tfachim, then the Aron was an Amma V'chetzi, add the Kapores, so you have 6 + 3 + 1, you have 10 Tfachim. And according to Rabbi Meir then, why do we need the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai in the case of Mechitza? That's the question of the Gemara. Okay then. Why do we need Halacha L'Moshe Misinai according to Rabbi Meir, since we could derive the shear of Mechitza of Yerushus HaYachid as 10 Tfachim? So the Gemara answers, and now we're up to about five lines before the end of the Amud, six lines up, the Gemara says that ki asa hilchisa ligod ulelavud uledofen akuma. So we have three new halachos in Mechitza. None of them have to do with the size of the height of this wall. That we've already established based on the Aron requires 10 tefachim in height. But we have three halachos that apply to Mechitza that are all halach l'moshe misinai. So let's go through one by one. The first one is called gud or god. Gud asik mechitzos, which means the following. In the Hebrew translation of gud asik, we say mishoch veha'ale. So what that means is the following. You have an area that is surrounded by mechitzos of 10 tefachim. Okay, so from the ground, you go up to the mechitzos 10 tefachim. I mean, that's like this table, you know, a very, very low area. Is that the end of Rishus HaYachid? No. Rishus HaYachid is Ola Ad L'Rakia. That area from the karka that's surrounded by mechitzos is halachically a continuous area that goes all the way up to the Rakia. There's no end. It's infinite. Why? Because Moshech es ha-mechitzos l'mala. And these are what we call imaginary mechitzos. So we imagine the mechitzos as if they went all the way up from the mechitza all the way up on top. So let's say, for example, you're on a roof. Now, if the walls that surround the building are 10 tefachim high, which I can guarantee you they are, then the walls of the building make a mechitza. Those mechitzos go all the way up l'shamayim, including the roof. So the roof is now, in quotation marks, surrounded by mechitzos, and it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. And this is going to be a tremendous machlokes between the Meiri and Rashi and Masechta Sukkah. Steve, you and I touched on it yesterday, if you recall. The Meiri seems to assume that you need physical mechitzos in order to prevent the rabbim from entering into that area. But we're going to assume that even the Meiri might have a second category of mechitza, which is not the physical mechitza, but it's the imaginary mechitza. That's called god asik mechitzos. Now the word asik means to go up, lamala. In Aramaic, the opposite word is mechis. Mechis means to go down. So there's also a halach of god mechis mechitzos or achis mechitzos. So let's say, for example, if you have a ceiling, then if that ceiling is part of a rishus hayachid, then even if below the ceiling there are no mechitzos, we're going to be moshech the mechitzos lamata, and then the mechitzos go down. That's another halacha of an imaginary mechitza. That's also included here in the din of god, or good, depending on your pronunciation. And that's called good achis mechitzas. Achis means to go down. So these imaginary mechitzas might go up or might go down. In the case they go down, in case you want to make a note of it, I don't have a blackboard here right now, you would call it P tikra yored vesosen. Four words. That's a very famous phrase in all of Masech Erevin and also Masech Shabbos. Also touches on Sukkah a little bit. And that's called P tikra, the end of the ceiling is yored. It goes down vesosen and it closes off the area that's included underneath that roof. And that's because of these imaginary mechitzos. That's all halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. Then we get to something called lavud. Okay, so he has it here as a mechitza shechaser ba v'yesh chalal shel pachas mishlosh tefachim be'emtza. So he says the following. Let's say you have one mechitza and another mechitza, but there's airspace in between the two mechitzos. This is another halacha of an imaginary mechitza, and we close up the area between these two mechitzos as long as they're close to each other. What's considered close to each other? That's called within shlosha tefachim. So if you have an area that is a space that's less than three tefachim, with a mechitza on your right and a mechitza on your left, we consider it as one continuous mechitza, and that's called lavud. Now this becomes very relevant to the case of sukkah, for example. I don't know if you've ever seen a sukkah, like if you come out to my porch here, which is right outside this window, then what you'll see is that we have soragim, we have, you know, bars. I mean, they're there for health, for safety purposes. But they also serve as mechitzos, because between one bar and the next, between one soreg and the next, there's less than three tefachim. Now, the question in sukkah is, how many mechitzos can you have that are imaginary mechitzos? Imagine if you had four imaginary mechitzos, it would be totally open to airspace. I mean, that's not really a sukkah. I mean, you could probably hang your schach on poles, but that's not called a sukkah. Sukkah has to be a place of dira, you know, teshu gein taduru. So you want to have some privacy here. So that's going to be the question, how many mechitzos can you have in a sukkah that are imaginary mechitzos? So if you had that soragim, you know, that surrounded your sukkah, I don't know. You know, we'd have to learn Masech the sukkah for that. Thank God we still have a couple of months to get to sukkah. I think it wasn't coincidental that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put sukkah after Shabbos and Erevin, because how could you learn Daf Yomi and sukkah without knowing Shabbos and Erevin? Now we have a third halacha, which is called Dofen Akuma. Okay, Dofen Akuma is a little bit more of a complicated halacha, and it has to do with two levels of ground. You have the low level of the ground and the higher level of the ground. So what does that mean? Let's say that from a certain level, if you're going up to the ground, up to the ceiling, you would not have 10 tefachim, so you don't have a mechitza. But you may have a mechitza on the side that akuma means it's curved, and if you can consider that curved mechitza as if it was a straight mechitza, you would have 10 tefachim. Now, in sukkah, dofen akuma is like a big deal. Like, I don't know if I'd be exaggerating if I told you that half the shilas in sukkah, if not more, are about dofen akuma. Because what happens is that you put your schach in the middle, and there's a distance between your schach and the wall on the left or on the right. But the dofen of your sukkah curves up on top. So if we're able to curve that mechitza, then it means that the mechitza reaches the schach. Again, that's all imaginary. The mechitza is on the left, you know, going vertically, and your schach is up here. You know, your schach is separated from the mechitza. So how could I see this mechitza is carrying your schach? But the answer is dofen akuma. Now again, halacha l'moshe mi'sinai in dofen akuma is that if the distance between your dofen and the schach is less than 4 amos, again, we're talking about a very large area, then we view the dofen as a dofen akuma. And now, this dofen is completely contiguous to your schach. Now, that's really odd. You know, when you look at it, you know, you've got a wall, you've got a ceiling, right? It's three and a half amos. That's a very large ceiling, right? A length of a ceiling. And your schach is all the way over here. And yet, we're going to say that the dofen curves over, but it's really straight, imaginary straight, and therefore connects to your schach. Why? Because the dofen on top is less than 4 amos. So that's called dofen akuma. All this is halacha l'moshe misinai, and this is the subject of the sugya in Masechta Sukkah on daf hei. Okay. Now, Rabosai, let's get to place. We're up to the two dots on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which is about, 5.5 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Again, if you have Mitch, you have a Steinzel, so I can't tell you exactly where it is, but I'm sure you'll find it. And he says the following. We're talking now about the din of a Korah. You remember that we have a Mavui. It's a Mavui Shena Mefulash. And all the Batim spill into a common courtyard. From that courtyard, they go into an alleyway that leads you out to Rosh Hashanah, and the Rabbanan said it looks too much like Rosh Hashanah to allow you to carry in this Mavui, even though the Mavui has 3 mechitzos, because it's only open on one side to Rosh Hashanah, and the Rabbanan required a Korah. You have to put a beam up on top of the Mavui. The problem is that there's a maximum height which validates the Korah, and that's 20 Amos. If the Korah is above 20 Amos, nobody really sees it, it's Lo Sholto Be'ena, then it's not a Heker, and it's not a Tikkun for the Mavu. So the Gemara says the following, Hoya Gavoh Mi'esrim Amo. If the Korah is above 20 Amos, and therefore it's invalid, Uba Lamato, and now he wants the lower the Korah. Now, Rabosai, let's get it straight. There's no way of lowering a Korah. The Korah sits on 2 major walls. I mean, the only theoretical possibility of lowering the Korah, if you take that literally, would be to knock down these walls. But that we're not willing to do. So how in heaven's tarnation can you lower a Korah without breaking down the walls? And the Gemara says, Kama Mimait, how much should he lower it? So the Gemara laughs at the question, what do you mean, how much should he lower it? Kama Mimait is Kama Ditzarech Lehi. It all depends on what he needs. You know, how high up is it? So if it's 25 amos high, he's got to lower it by 5 amos, etc., etc. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood my question. When I asked you Kama Mimait, what I meant to say is El Rachbo Bekama. Rachbo Bekama. Now, Rabosai, I don't know if you in this technology, if you're going to be able to see the diagram that I have. I'll just try, for the fun of it. I don't expect, I'm not optimistic about this, but I don't expect you to see this. But that's the picture. Now, what you're looking at in this picture is a Mavui, which has 2 walls on the right and the left. The end of the Mavui on the other side is also a Kosel. So you have 2 Kosolim, and you'll notice that the Korah is very, very high up, correct? The Korah is above 20 Amos. Now, in the middle, between the 2 Kosolim, the 2 walls, on the bottom, let's say the ground space of the Mavui, you're going to do what I call a filler. A filler means that you're going to fill in the space on the bottom. It's almost as if you're putting a platform. You know, when I was a youngster, my father, may he rest in peace, had something called Adler shoes. I don't think anyone here would know what that means. But anyway, there's a company called Adler. and they produced shoes for short people that had inside a little platform, so you couldn't tell that you got 2 extra inches on top. So anyway, so we had to use a platform here. So if we fill in the platform and we build up the aretz, so then we're going to obviously diminish the distance between the korah on top and where you're walking, where your feet is on the bottom. So that if, let's say, the height is of the korah is 21 amos, we need a landfill of 1 amah. And plus, let's say, right? So that, the Gemara says, that wasn't my question. You know, if you're talking about how tall the landfill is, then kamad tzarech. Okay, so if it's 22, if the korah is 22 amos, you have a landfill of 2 amos, etc., etc. But now the question is, does this landfill have to go from the beginning of the mavui all the way to the end of the mavui? I mean, that's a heck of an undertaking. You know, you got to get a good good kablan to do the work for you. So the Gemara says that no. All you have to do is you have to set up a landfill that would take you from the beginning of the Mavui in the Rishus HaRabim as you enter into Mavui all the way to the end of the Mavui, but only at a certain width. It doesn't have to cover the entire area. Why? Because let's say you were walking on this, I'll call it a platform, and you looked up towards the Korah, you would see the Korah. Because now that platform gives you a height that is within 20 amos of the Korah. But the question is, okay, I walk into the Mavui, I can take my step up, or maybe a few steps up, to this platform. And that platform I could walk on from the beginning of the Mavui till the end. And I'm looking at the Korah and I see the Korah. But how wide of an area, let's say the Mavui is 5 amos wide. So how many of those 5 amos, can I just fill it in a very narrow area such that one person, you know, if he squeezes in, he can walk up and down that platform and he's within 20 amos of the Korah. So here we have a machlokes between Abayi and Rav. And again, I hope it'll become clearer as we go along. I'm sorry, between Rav Yosef and Rav. Rav Yosef and Abayi. So, Rav Bava Kama. Rav Yosef Omar Tefach. Now, Tefach is a very small area. I don't know exactly how to engineer this, you know, that you can tiptoe on this Rochav of a tefach, and you know you could see the korah because you've covered the height so that you know it's a tefach. I have a suspicion that Rav Yosef Shita is not based on what I call a reality. You know that we're going to do a reality check and we're going to assume that he's walking on this elevated area, because it's only a tefach wide. You know, I can imagine he would have to put his back against the wall and, tiptoe through this korah. I have a feeling in my bones that a korah, which is a rochva tefach, is a halachic definition. What do I mean by a halachic definition? Where did Rav Yosef, from whence did he borrow this concept of a tefach? And the answer is from the Korah itself. The Korah, which is meant to be a reminder that this is a closed-off area, it's not open to Rishus HaRabim, it's an area unto itself, it's a Rishus HaYachid, that Korah has to have the thickness of a Tefach. So that Korah now sort of sets the beat for what is considered a reminder, a Heker. And we're going to borrow that in order to explain this halach of a landfill, and that landfill has to be no more than a tefach, perhaps. I have a footnote here, and he says to look at Rashi, Dibri Maschil Tefach. So if you look at Rashi, which is 4 lines up from the bottom, Rashi writes, Keneged Rochva Shel Korah V'tachteha. So that if you were standing below the Korah, and exactly below the Korah looking up, you would be standing in a tefach area. Again, I don't think your whole body could fit in a tefach, but you'd be standing in a tefach area that's below the Korah. So that you see that tefach now becomes the shiur, you know, the halachic measuring distance or space for this concept of, you know, I'm connected to this heker, you know, which is meant to remind me of Rishu Sayyoch. Abaye Omar, Arba Tfachim. So again, in this little picture that I tried to show you, what you see is that he built a little bit of a platform, but it's Arba Tfachim. You know, Arba Tfachim is enough of a space. Let's say it's like about let's say about this wide. Correct? It's like 2/3 of a foot, maybe. And it's wide enough for a person to actually walk up and down. So now the Gemara wants to analyze the machlokas between Rav Yosef and Abaye, and that's called Lema Bahaka Miflagi. This is the subject of their machlokas. And I'm hoping now we're going to turn to Daf in another line, we're going to turn to Daf Hey, and we're going to get a picture of what Rav Yosef and Abaye are arguing about. Now we start with Rav Yosef. Demandi Omar. I'm sorry, I heard somebody, but I didn't recognize the voice. Sorry. No. Okay. Demandi Omar, according to Rav Yosef, who says that all you have to do is set up a tefach. So you need now a height of one single tefach in order to reduce the gova. So if you'd be standing on that tefach, you would be able to be within 20 amma of the Korah. Because Savar, he holds, Mutter Lishtamesh Tachas HaKorah. Now what does that mean? The Korah itself has what we call two chudot. The singular is chuda. Chuda means the edge. So there are two edges. There's one edge which is pnima, and there's one edge which is chitzona. Right? So let's say, for example, if this was my korah, so I have chuda, and now watch what happens. We're going from Rishus Sarabim into the Mavui, and here's my korah on top. So this part that's closer to Rishus HaRabim, that's called Chuda HaChitzonis. And then you have this lip or edge of the Korah that faces in towards the Mavui, that's called the Chuda HaPnimis. And the Korah itself, as we said before, is one Tefach. Now the question is, where is, I don't mean physically, where is, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Adam HaRishon Ayeka, God knew where he is, but where is this Korah? What I mean to say is, what's the status of the Korah itself? Is the Korah considered inside the Mavui, or is it outside the Mavui? I mean, we know where it is physically, but where is it al pi halacha? And then Afkamina would be, am I allowed to take an object from point A to point B when these two points are below the Korah? If I view the Korah from the Chuda HaPnimis perspective, then the thickness or the width of the Korah is really outside of Rishus HaRabim. If, on the other hand, I'm more lenient and I allow for the Chuda HaChitzona, the outside facing Rishus HaYachid, facing Rishus HaRabim, to be considered part of the Korah, so that means from that first part that I smack against, going inwardly, that's all part of the Mavui, then I'm allowed to carry something underneath the Korah. Do you follow? So the Gemara wants to suggest that the issue of carrying under the Korah, again, I'm giving you a case where the Korah is only a Tefach. It could be the Korah is much wider than a Tefach. Whether you're allowed to carry under the under the Korah, which is called in the Gemara's language, Mutu Lishtamesh Tachas HaKorah, or, as we're going to see, on the top of Daf Hayim and Aleph, also lishtamish tachas hakora, that's going to be the subject of the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaye. So Rav Yosef is going to hold mutal lishtamish tachas hakora. Okay, so let me read to you the translation here in Hebrew, and we'll try to understand what is mutal lishtamish tachas hakora have to do with this landfill, as we called it, lerochav hamovu. He says the following: Roem es hakora ki ilu chuda hachitzona shel hakora haponel rishus haravim yored v'sosem es hamovu. Remember, we discussed before that we had three halachas that were halacha l'Moshe miSinai. The first of which was called goad. And goad, if you remember, worked either going up or going down. In this case, we're talking about goad achis, going down. So we look at the outer lip. Outer means facing Rishus HaRabim. Here's where the Rabim come in, through this door, right? And they smack up against the outer edge of the Korah. The outer edge of the Korah sets up an imaginary mechitza going downwards. That becomes the fourth mechitza of the mavui, right? The whole idea of a korah, and we'll soon see about a lechi, is that the korah represents an imaginary fourth mechitza, so that this mavui is a real bona fide rishus hayachid, you know, kedasu kedin, with all the hidurim of rishus hayachid. It's got four mechitzas. So if I hold mutal lishtamesh tachas hakorah, then what I'm saying is that my imaginary fourth mechitza begins with the chudah hachitzonit of the korah. The outer edge of the korah, that part goes all the way down, and that sets up the entire korah as being inside the rishus hayachid, because already on the outside part of the korah, you've already got a fourth mechitza. Is nimtza shakarka shetachas hakora, according to this man the Omar, is lifnim mea mechitza. So it's inside the mechitza, this fourth mechitza. Shehu sover, sheroem es chuda achitzonis shel hakora, kilu hu yored visosen. The outer lip of the face of the korah goes down and forms a mechitza. Mishum kach, Omar shedai bozeh, sheyasem miut tachas hakora berochav hakora. Miut means that we're trying to diminish the space, the airspace between the ground and the kora, and that airspace has to be diminished by adding a landfill, as we said before, because the kora is too high up, it's above Esrim Amo. So now what you have to do is, he says, that what you're going to do is you're going to have this landfill, and that landfill, which is called the miut, again, remember that word miut, is underneath the korah, the rochav hakorah. It has the same width as the korah. Shatam shekora gova lemalami esravama psula. What is the logic to invalidate a korah that's above Esrim Amo? It's too high for the eye to see, and therefore you don't see the korah if you're, you know, unless you stretch your neck all the way back. The people are walking in the korah, they don't see. Walking in the mavui, they don't see. It's not obvious, it's not apparent to them. They don't see the korah. Amalkan. Leha'omdim bi'oso tefach. Again, I don't understand how to exactly orchestrate this, but those who are standing, or any individual standing in that tefach, he is wearing these Adler shoes, right? He's on a platform, so he can see the korah. V'day bozeh k'dei lahachshir samovui l'tiltu. So that already gives me a korah that's below Esrim Amo, and that's a tikkun for the mavui. And why is it below Esrim Amo? Because someone standing on that tefach is able to see the korah, because from the distance of where his feet are standing on the top of this landfill, all the way to the korah is less than Esrim Amo. And what we're going to say is that's sufficient. Just like we said that you're allowed to carry under the kor itself, which gives you that tefach, so too, we're going to create this additional tefach, which is going to accomplish memayit. And now we turn to daf hei amud aleph. Umandi omar, now we're up to Abaye. Abaye says that in order to accomplish your memayit, you need arba tefachim, berochav, right? You need a width of four tefachim. Which means that the heter of a korah is not from chuda hachitzonis, but rather from chuda hapnimis, from the inner edge that faces towards the rishus hayochid, and that's where we apply the principle of pi tikra yored v'sosem. In other words, the fourth mechitza starts with the inner side, the inner edge of the korah. And therefore, the karka underneath the korah has no mechitzos. Well, it has some mechitzos, but doesn't have a fourth mechitza. And therefore, you're not allowed to carry below the korah. And therefore, if you're talking about lifting up with this platform the mavui, then one tefach is not going to be enough. Why? Because the bnei hamavui, those people who are using the mavui, they have not been lifted to such an extent that they have a heker, that they can really notice the korah. Why? Because, as we said, the shear of a korah is not a shear of a tefach that allows you to carry, because underneath the korah itself, there is no heker, and you cannot carry. Therefore, what we need is that the mavui has to have this landfill that's going to take us four tefachim in width, and therefore, once it's four tefachim in width, and it's high enough so that the korah is now lowered to below esrim amah, now he fixes up the korah, and the korah is fine. The Gemara says lo. The Gemara rejects it. Kuli alma savri mutul shtamish tachas korah. Everybody agrees that it's the chuda hachitzona that sets up your mechitza going down, the imaginary mechitza, which is called pitikra yori v'sosem, and you're allowed to carry underneath the korah. Ubahaka miflugi. Mar sovar, according to Rabbi Yosef, why do we have to be mamayit this korah? Is because korah mishum heker. The chachamim say you're not allowed to carry in a mavui without a korah, because they don't want us to mistakenly confuse the mavui for a rishus harabim, because the rabim go into the mavui, and therefore to allow tiltal in the mavui, the chachamim say you need a korah at the beginning of the mavui, bepesach hamavui, and that's going to be a heker. That's going to be a sign to remind the people who are coming out of Rishus HaRabim that they're going into a mavui. They're exiting from Rishus HaRabim, they're entering into a private area that is set off by four mechitzos. And once they have that heker, they were not afraid that by permitting carrying in the mavui, they'll come to carry even in Rishus HaRabim. They'll obviously see the difference between a mavui, which has this fourth mechitza, which is called the korah. That's a heker to remind them that this mavui is set aside from the Rishus HaRabim, and it is a Rishus HaYochid. So Rabbi Yosef holds that in order to accomplish this heker, we've seen in the case of a korah that the korah only has to be one tefach, and that tefach is enough to establish a heker and set it off from Rishus HaRabim, and it's a notification, you know, do not enter, so to speak. This is no longer Rishus HaRabim. This is an area that belongs to the Mavui, and the Bnei HaMavui is, once we've established that a tefach, in the case of a korah, suffices to set up a heker, to tell us that this is not Rishus HaRabim, therefore, when we need to be mamayit in order to get that lower distance and diminish the height of 20 amma, it's enough to set up this platform, as we said, this landfill, which is one tefach in width. Umar Sovar, but Abaye holds Kora Mishum Mechitza. Wow. This is the first time, Rabosai, that we're encountering this very, very important statement that's attributed to Abaye, that the Kora is not Mishum Heker. The purpose of the Kora is not a reminder, you know, a psychological entity, but rather it's a legal halachic entity. It really sets up a fourth mechitza to create out of the mavui a total, complete reshus hayachid of an area that's surrounded by four mechitzas. So the goal and the purpose of the Kora, through this principle of imaginary mechitza, is to set up a fourth mechitza so that the mavui is surrounded by four mechitzas. And we're holding now that chuda, that the edge of the kora is yored v'sosem. And again, we're willing to say that it's the chuda hachitzona, right? It's the outer edge of the kora that sets up this imaginary mechitza. And you're allowed to carry underneath the kora. And now the Chachamim said, wait a minute, this kora has to be set up no higher than 20 amma in order to set up a mechitza. So the Chachamim say that a kora which is above 20 amma from the ground, we're not going to apply the principle of chuda yored v'sosem to set up a fourth mechitza. So that's the way the Rabbanon organized the kora. Now again, what has to be understood, and I'm just raising a question on the side, is that what difference does it make whether the kora is below 20 amma from the ground or above 20 amma from the ground if we're talking about a mechitza? We're no longer talking about heker. Heker, I understand, lo sholta ba'ena, it's too high up. But in the case of mechitza, and we have this halacha l'moshe misinai of go to achis mechitzos, I don't understand why the Rabbanon decided to exercise their authority and tell us that this mechitza could only apply, this imaginary fourth mechitza, if the kora is below esrim amma. I mean, that's something that has to be understood. Now comes along Abaye, and he says, you know what? If this height is more than esrim amma, and that makes it impossible for us to apply the principle of chuda yored v'sosem, so now we have to be memayit. And Abaye says we have to be memayit a rochav of four tfachim. What do we gain by these four tfachim? And the answer is that what we want to gain by these four tfachim is to make sure that the kora is considered a mechitza for a reshus hayochid. Now watch what happens. We had in Masechet Shabbos, for those of you who are learning Masechet Shabbos, on Daf Vav, we have the dimensions, the minimum dimensions of reshus hayochid. And in terms of the space on the ground, that has to have four tfachim square. It's got to be four tfachim on four tfachim. If it's less than that, it's a makom ptur, it's not a reshus hayochid. So the fact that you have mechitzos, even though they're 10 tfachim high, that doesn't automatically guarantee that you have reshus hayochid. There's another condition that has to be met, that the four mechitzos surround an area that has the minimum dimension of four tfachim. So the mechitzos of reshus hayochid, and in this case the kora, the purpose of which is to set up a fourth mechitza, that mechitza has to be relevant or function, or let's use the word service, an area that has the minimum of a rochav arba tfachim, because the whole purpose of mechitza is to set up a reshus hayochin, and reshus hayochin requires a minimum of four tfachim. If the mechitza is not going to service, which is called in Hebrew lahachshir makom, of four tfachim, it's not called a mechitza. So therefore, Abaye must assume that if you want to set up an area that is connected to this kora, such that the kora can now function as a mechitza, that area would have to have the minimum dimension of four tfachim. So let's go over this. According to Rav Yosef, the purpose of the Korah is only a heker. And we would say that that Korah is a heker if it's below 20 Amah and it has the width of a tefach. So we're going to apply that rule of a tefach as a heker for this halach of memayit. And we're going to say that if you were to stand on the top of this platform, which is only one tefach wide, that one tefach is always enough to serve as a heker. I mean, I would say it like this. Again, I don't know if what I'm about to say is correct or not, but if you were walking on the Mavui and you saw an area that was lifted and it had the width of a tefach, that would remind you that there's something going on over here, that there's something different about this Mavui. So in Hilchas Heker, Rav Yosef establishes that a tefach is enough to serve as a heker. However, Abaye has a whole different perspective. The purpose of the Korah is not for heker, but rather to set up a mechitza. A mechitza is only meaningful if it services an area that has the minimum dimension of 4 tefachim. And therefore, if I'm adding this platform for the purpose of memayit, in order to set up lahakshir, in order to activate this korah as a mechitza, well, guess what? That platform would have to have the area of 4 tefachim. Okay, Rabosai, so this is where we're up to. Let's just make a note. We're on the top of Daf Heyam and Aleph. And we're up to the Ibayis Ema, which is 5 lines down from the top of the Mirtz Hashem. That's where we'll pick it up tomorrow. Now, if anyone has any questions, this is a good time to ask. Okay.